Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state. This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 1142. Let's go to the cork board, the ID10T cork board, that is. Find out what's going on in the ID10T community. Events at ID10T.com to share your thing. Like Brian, who has written, "Hello, Chris and fellow ID10Ters. I wrote a novel I think a great many of you may enjoy. A tale of science fiction that's also a comedy. Great Men of Science, it's called. Concerns a malcontent scientist named Albert, who at the behest of the spoiled brat famous scientist Magnus Riptide, who screwed him out of a career full of wealth and fame back in college, has to help him defeat the menace he created, Thomas Edison." Well, not really Thomas Edison, but a 30% size clone of Thomas Edison made on a 3D printer who has escaped into the channels of time and is traveling through history, stealing the patent for every invention ever made. Great Men of Science is available wherever books are sold. It's got a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy meets Futurama type vibe. I hope you like it. Thanks. Brian, this sounds amazing. We will definitely check it out, and we've now shared it with the ID10T community. So hopefully they check it out as well. If you want to share your thing, events at ID10T.com is the way to do that. This episode, Christina Ricci is back on the podcast. I thought it had only been a few years, but she pointed out on the podcast it's been like 8 years because, you know, time just flies, and it moves so damn fast. But Ricci is just the coolest. Like, she makes me laugh so hard. She's just one of the funniest people, and obviously immensely, incredibly brilliant and talented. Her show that's on right now, Yellow Jackets, is Lydia's and mine. It's like one of our favorite shows on television right now. Yellow Jackets is on Showtime and also the Showtime app, and I highly recommend it. There's 6 episodes out now, and there's more coming. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it just got picked up for a second season. I hope it did. But yes, Yellow Jackets, you should definitely watch it. And also, she's in The Matrix Resurrections, which is a pretty big deal, and that's coming out December 22nd in theaters and streaming on HBO Max. And we recorded this podcast a couple weeks ago, and at the time she was 6 days away from having a baby, and she has now since had that baby. So congratulations, Christina Ricci, on the baby. Obviously, I had a lot of baby questions, and she was awesome to answer them all, because we are at the posting of this podcast about 7 weeks out from the baby town, from the arrival of our little baby. So I had a lot of questions, and just, she had great answers. But I had so much fun chatting with her for an hour, and I'm going to play the podcast now. I'm going to just stop talking about the podcast and actually roll the thing, that being episode number 1142. Christina Ricci returning to the ID10T podcast. Here it is.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
Good morning.
Hey, let me turn my video on. Here we go.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Literally 2-3 minutes ago, they just finished resetting up our internet. Our whole house went down last night at like 7 p.m. because So I'm hoping that it's all okay, and we'll just cross our fingers.
Yeah, I have no judgment because I break technology despite being close to it. So,
I mean, it's
always thrilled when it's someone else. To be honest,
yeah. No, it's totally us. And also, we're so I feel I'm so incredibly empathetic to people who are, especially just now where everything's like virtual. No, we don't, you know.
No, it's crazy. I always say that. I'm like, I do my job in my mind. Like, I don't even have paper. So to all of a sudden ask me to do all this other shit, I'm just like, how can you expect? But I have learned rapidly over the past 2 years. So I'm fine now.
Yeah, well, now, because now we have to kind of, well, you know, I feel like, okay, now I got to do my own makeup. That's fine. I don't mind. Got to do my own lighting. Got to do my own like camera work, all that. We all just had to adapt to do all these jobs that are very actually hard.
And what's really kind of fun is I like when people drop off equipment and then you get to keep it, which is like, that's the best part of the whole pandemic virtual thing. I have some really fancy like microphones and lights.
Listen, if you want a side hustle, you could always just open like a Ricci production facility and just rent out all the equipment that people have given you.
I'm regifting a microphone to my son for Christmas. I'm so excited. No.
That's fantastic. That's a great gift. It doesn't matter where it came from. You know what? It's Santa. Santa gave you the mic and now you can pass it on. It's
how are you? I hear you're expecting.
We are. Yeah, we're 2 months out, and we're just it's very real, and we're just in that zone of like, oh, I guess technically it could be any time. You know, we're getting to that point where it just could happen, but we feel pretty good about, you know, the February date that we have. Liz is getting a C-section, so we know the date. So if everything goes,
I am too.
Oh, you are.
So I'm 6 days away. In 6 days, this child will be out of me.
Oh my God. I didn't realize you were that close.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm so happy. Out. Out.
Yeah. So. I was so blown away by when we were talking to the doctor and she said, okay, so, you know, on this date in February, you come in, you get there at 5:15, 7:15, we bring you into the operating room, and by 7:45, and we're like, what? I mean, it just sounds so like.
Yeah.
I agree. I will be there, but I'm not sure. I'll probably be up with her. I think there's like a.
Yeah, don't look. Don't. Okay.
It's very medical. It's very surgical.
My sister has a thing during hers. She looked out the window, and in the reflection of the window, she could see what was going on below the curtain. And she says, you know, she almost passed out because to see your insides on the outside is not, it's not normal. That's not what we're supposed to.
It's not a thing that we're really programmed to see.
Mm-mm. And I would think like, you don't want to see your wife's insides outside either. So.
I mean, listen, if Lydia said to me, it's very important that you see this, I would do it for her, but not said that.
You probably need trauma counseling afterwards.
I was trying to figure out just to sort of diffuse any tension in the situation. Like, oh, should I, you know, am I going to automatically like try to do bits in the room where I'm just like, you know, I cast ye out. You just like really bits. And then I realized like, oh, well, you know, I forget that not everyone's a comedian and not everyone like that. It could come off weird. It could land weird while they're trying to do their job.
It really does depend. But, you know, read the room.
Hey, you guys. what can we expect in terms of like, what's the vibe in the room? Is it pretty like, it's pretty calm and controlled. It's just everything I've ever seen in every movie. It's pandemonium. And it's never,
quiet.
It's quiet.
I remember being very quiet and that made me anxious. Just, I'm like a nervous talker too. So the quietness, I'm sure I said some idiotic things. Just.
So what do you guys like to do? What's going on? What are you guys doing down there?
Anesthesiologist. Hey, do you have kids? You don't do this with your wife? No, no. Okay.
You guys done this before? You did this before, right? Isn't that the first? Okay, good.
I don't know. I just remember being quiet and cold.
Quiet and cold. Well, I don't, I feel like, I mean, Liz is a rock. Like, she is unshakable. I'm the one who's more like, I hope everything's okay. So I'm just going to do my best to just be as like zen as possible, to just be whatever she needs me to be in the moment. I just don't know. I've never experienced anything like this before, so I just don't know what to expect.
Pretty crazy. I'm sure you'll be fine.
I hope so.
Pass out. As long as you don't pass out, I think you're fine.
I'll be so embarrassed.
Yeah, they seem to be really embarrassed afterwards when they do that.
Because you want to be a good partner. Like, you want to be like, and if your body just shuts down, that's, I don't know what you're supposed to say after that. Yeah. And then also thinking about, like, you know, what we hadn't really planned on was, oh yeah, it's a major surgery. You're going to have, you need to recover for a while after, especially a C-section. So we're sort of in the process of setting everything up so that recovery is as comfortable as possible.
Yeah. I'm really terrible with that stuff. I'm always like, but exactly how little can I do? I'm really bad. And my doctor has really laid out the limits for me. So
do you not like to sit still?
I can't sit still, and I'm so controlling and I'm so specific about how I like things around me, but I also cannot stomach a person that tells other people how to do it.
Right.
When it's so specifically my problem.
Right.
But it drives me insane. Like, I don't like the way the glasses are organized, but I can't reach the glasses because of my gigantic stomach. So I just have to sit there tortured. I refuse to tell my husband how I would like them organized because I feel like that's just too much.
I totally understand. I try to notice things as much as possible where it's like, okay, when Liz put these in the fridge, all the labels were facing out. So I think she likes all the
labels nice.
Facing out, but I still feel like I'm a dopey husband. So there's still stuff I miss.
Not being able to do it yourself. It just is. So I have a lot of trouble sitting. I don't like sitting still, but it's fine. And I have a 7-year-old and I feel much more comfortable ordering him around. So it's really specifically the way I want them.
Well, that's nice. I'm encouraged to hear that. I feel a lot better talking to someone who's actually been through a C-section and it was totally fine. And you're totally, totally happy.
I actually felt like, I have not given birth the other way, but I feel like I was thrilled with a C-section.
So if you were giving a C-section a Yelp rating, you would say 4 stars, would do again.
Yes. Yes. And they give you a shot of morphine afterwards, which is fantastic.
Oh, well, that's nice. I don't know. I'm not sure Lydia can take morphine. I think it like messes with her in some way. So I don't know if they're going to, I don't know if it'll be something else, but
you get a lot of nice drugs and it's nice. It's good. Everything comes in. Yeah. It's good.
I don't know what, first of all, Lydia adores you. And
oh, I know. We hung out once. It was really fun. We've been trying to get to hang out again, maybe with our babies.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2020 kind of threw a wrench into hangout plans. So it's totally understandable, but when you come up around the house, we casually refer to you by your last name as we're like, oh, Richie's having a baby. I don't know why.
That's why I prefer that. So
oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I like my last name better than my first name. So it's fine.
Richie's a great last name, but it also like there's this familiarity. It's like, oh, we might go to, you know, a couple few years ago, it was like, oh, we're going to Disneyland. Oh, I'll see if Richie wants to go. You know, like it was very, it was very friendly, but she really thinks you're the coolest.
I love her. We had so much fun at this fashion show we were at together. Yeah.
She's here up in the house somewhere. If she said if she could, we're trying to set up, cause there's the house is a few floors. So we're trying to set up a room on the ground floor for her. Like we're turning a room into a bedroom so that, cause we're getting to a point where up and down the stairs is starting to get a little tiresome. Yeah. So we're trying to just make a safe haven down on the ground floor so that stairs do not have to be the only option.
It's a good idea. Yeah, our bedroom is upstairs and I still do it, but somebody usually has to walk behind me. My back, just like pushing gently. Yeah.
Well, we watched
I guess Showtime sent us the first six episodes of Yellow Jackets, and we watched the first five, and then we stopped and we realized, oh, there are more than six episodes and we can't get access to them yet. And we love the show so much, so we're just waiting until we can get, so we don't have to wait like 2 months for the next episode.
Yeah, I hear you. They won't give me the rest after six either, so, and it's annoying. So yeah. I'm just gonna say, my dogs are in a room. They're making gremlin sounds. If that becomes a problem, I can put them outside.
No, please. We have a massive dog upstairs, and he might like just start having a freak out or not. And I think this is just the world that we're in now. It's just okay. Like, hey, you know what? People have dogs. People have kids who walk in, and that's fine. It's totally fine.
Okay, great. They're usually quiet. They're in this little room that's like their small room. And for some reason now they're going insane.
Well, I can't help but wonder like how pets have been affected by everything. Because like our dog, we got a month before pandemic. And then for the first year or so, a year and a half of his life, he was never not with us, ever.
Yeah.
So I wonder if like, as we are emerging from all this, if pets are like, what the fuck? What bullshit is this? Because we're not attentive to them all the time.
Exactly. It's funny.
Do you have a special connection with the dogs? Lydia seems to know when the dog is happy, when he's excited. He had an accident in the house the other day, and she was convinced he was embarrassed. I'm like, I don't think he feels embarrassed. And she was like, he's really embarrassed that this happened. Like, I don't know if he is. Well,
I have three of them, and since I've been pregnant, I haven't really been able to care for them because they're boisterous, and two of them are rescue dogs. So yeah. My husband deals with them mostly. I really love them, but they're really annoying right now. And the whole thing where they're like supposed to know you're pregnant, it's just a myth. They have no idea. They're just still jumping on me, punching me in the stomach. The cat, I have a special connection with. I really love my cat.
Does the cat know that something is going on?
I feel like she does. She's around a lot more. She's been sleeping in the crib, which is good and bad. The monitor has been monitoring her sleeping and heartbeat. It's kind of insane. She's around a lot more, Figaro. So I don't know. But the dogs are just annoying me right now.
Why can't they just get it together and be empathetic to the situation? Why can't they just, like you said earlier, why can't they just fucking read the room? Why can't the dog just read the room?
Behave themselves. Yeah.
Just be cool. Yeah. Maybe they could just rearrange the glasses for you once in a while. Maybe they could bring you something that you need.
Something, anything. Be good family members.
But Yellow Jackets is legitimately, it's been our favorite show right now.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Like, immediately, we're sucked into it, and it just became like the show that we started watching every night together. And the only thing I'm bummed about is that we don't have the next handful of episodes.
I know. And you have four left. I have three left. But from what we shot, the last three should be the most fun.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. The thing about the show, I feel like we're so spoiled as consumers now because there's just a lot of everything. And being that, it's really easy to sort of, I don't know. I feel like it's easy to just to take entertainment for granted. But when a show comes along that's so insanely original that you can't track, like most shows you watch and go, okay, I kind of see where this is going. I see what this is. I see what they did. This show is untrackable. It is so original and so interesting and so well done. Did you kind of right away from reading the script get the sense of that? Or was that something that you noticed as you were making it?
Well, no. I mean, the pilot itself felt very original. It was sort of all these different references rolled into one when it was talked about and pitched. Just the idea that it's... that it is sort of an exploration of the brutality of women without the need for exploitation at the same time, you know, I think is really, because usually like violent women and there's got to be like a really strong sexual element to it. And, you know, it has to be pulpy to be believed. Right. Or, And that this is sort of, it rides that line, I think, a lot, but there's no exploitation in it, which was something that I was sort of, that I really loved. And then at the same time, every time a new script would come out, it would reveal like a different shade of the show. And that was really fascinating too, because in the beginning, no one said Stephen King to me, and the pilot doesn't feel very Stephen King-y. And then by like the second or third episode, I said to the writers, I was like, it feels like a Stephen King show. It's really incredible. And I'm so excited because I love Stephen King. And they were like, oh yeah, that was always our intention. And I was like, well, yeah, okay. I didn't know that. And all of us sort of know different, everyone on the cast knows different things about it and we're given different references. So it's, I think in the way that when something's very original, it's hard to have specific references. That's what this show is.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Yeah, and now something like this gets made, and then you're going to see for like the next year or two, like all of the clones of this show, like everyone's going to rush to make their version of Yellow Jackets too.
Oh, that's kind of fun. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, yeah, because it's, you know, the business is so funny because it's amazing to me that anything original ever gets made.
Yeah, no, because you have to have proven that something is a good idea before they'll give you money for it.
Yeah, exactly, because the people that tend to make decisions are generally doing their best to not get fired. So if they go out on a limb, then they, you know, and something doesn't work, then they are afraid that they will have to answer for it, as opposed to, you know, they just kind of look at a spreadsheet and go, well, you know, all of these data points suggest that look at all the followers on social media these people have. This should have been huge. This isn't my fault. And then they're like, okay, I guess you don't get fired. And so when people really do something different, something magical happens because a lot of people came together to try something original, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is pretty amazing. And TV is so weird too, because unless you're an EP, you really don't know what's going on most of the time. So it is kind of to go through the whole process and then to see it at the end and to have it be something new and so specific is it's sort of almost hard to categorize in a way.
I really wonder what it must feel like to get to a point in your career where, because I imagine people probably just offer you stuff now and you get to read stuff and go, I'll do this, but I don't want to do this. I want to do this. And I always marvel at the fact, like, how do you know? How do you, because something on the page, how many times have you seen something on the page and you didn't take the job, but then you see the movie and you go, holy shit, this is not at all what that script was. How did this end up happening? Like, how do you know and how do you maintain? Because you have a really good track record.
Oh, thank
for
you.
Solid
I've made a
stuff.
Lot of mistakes, I have to say. I've made some choices that later I was like, oh, I really only saw what I wanted to see in that. And it wasn't at all what I thought it was going to be. And since having made like a few big mistakes in that arena, I've stopped and been more careful and really asked all like better questions.
Did you sort of confer with your, do you have a professional team or just like a personal team of friends that you can kick stuff over and go, hey, what do you think of this? Or do you feel like at this point, like, no, I have a pretty strong gut for how this all works?
I mean, I have a pretty strong instinct, but I also at the same time really trust. I have a really fantastic manager that I trust who's almost too honest with me at times. We kind of go through all the potential negatives and positives. And so I think through that, pretty careful.
That's cool. And then do you know, like, did you shoot a bunch of stuff in between Yellow Jackets and now, or
no? I mean, we just finished shooting in September or the end of September.
Oh, wow.
So no, I've just been being pregnant ever since then.
And then do you give yourself a certain amount of, are you going to be okay, like just kind of laying low for a while, or do you
think, as soon as I can, I want to start working.
Yeah. That's what I've been saying to Lydia. It's like, well, you know, like it'll. She was very fortunate to be able to work quite a bit during pandemic. And I still notice sometimes she'll go like, I don't know. I feel like you worked, you know, you're doing great. And just like, this will all be fine. And by the time the baby's here, like it's the holidays, nothing is going to really happen anyway, you know?
Yeah, so, I'm happy it's the holidays when I'm giving birth, because then I really do have like 2 months of nobody's really doing anything anyway. Everything shuts down. It's hard though.
Yeah. And even in a pre-pandemic time, the business is always so interesting about like every year it kind of edges another couple days for the holidays, where I feel like years ago, the business used to shut down around December 17th or 20th. Then it got earlier in December. And now I feel like, you know, then people would be like, well, you know, nothing really happens between Thanksgiving and New Year's. It's like there's still a lot of days in there to do stuff. And now it's just like
in February. Yeah. They take all of January now to like get it together again. So long period of time.
Well, because we used to have like production cycles, and there was an official pilot season. There was this, and now it's just people are just making shit all the time. What do you think about the sort of the migration to? I mean, I just call it content, because movie, like calling something television or a movie, it almost
confusing now.
Yep. It kind of doesn't really make any sense entirely anymore.
No, I know. I call it content too, because there's just no difference, really.
Yeah. Yeah. But a show, is Yellow Jacket supposed to be one season, or is it?
No, we're waiting to find out if we get our pickup.
Oh, good, 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 good. Because that's the other thing too, is the whole idea of like the mini, you know, the one season arc of something sort of.
It can be really frustrating after you're like six episodes in, you're like, this is only one season. How could I possibly be satisfied at this point?
Yeah, because it's this whole new like version of storytelling has come around, which is like, well, it's like a movie, but it's also like a television show, but it's only eight episodes or six episodes, and none of these people will come back. A long movie television show.
It's a little sad. Like, I'm sad that I won't see any more Mayor of Easttown, you know? Yeah. I'm upset. I want to watch that character more. I feel like it's like a weird emotional exercise.
Well, yeah, but I think we're coming out of those. I think the best thing that a series can hope for in these times is like 3-4 seasons, maybe. But
yeah,
I think,
well, that's fine.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure not everyone wants to be on a show for 10 or 12 years, but also it doesn't really benefit streamers to have to like keep paying for something for like 10 seasons. They just don't.
Yeah, and we all want something new all the time now, because we're just given new stuff constantly.
Yeah, and if we don't get something brand new constantly, I don't know. I'm old enough to remember where we just didn't. If you didn't see something on TV, maybe you wouldn't see it again. It'll come out on VHS in like 6 months.
Yep.
You know, maybe it'll pop up on cable. But now the expectation is so. Do you think we're getting to a point where we're just gorging on entertainment too much?
Well, I mean, yes and no, because I definitely benefit and do that myself. And, you know, for my job and everything, it's fantastic. But sometimes I do think about the fat people in the pods from WALL-E on the ship.
Right.
Like fed everything they want all the time.
Yeah. Wait a minute. This is dovetailing nicely into The Matrix. You may have accidentally just dovetailed really beautifully into The Matrix. I have kept myself from watching any trailers because I have I want to go in and be completely surprised. But how, without, you know, obviously without spoiling anything, how was the experience? Was it fun, interesting? Were you a Matrix fan before? Any of the basic questions you've probably gotten 1,000 times.
I mean, I was a Matrix fan. I was 18 when the Matrix, 19 when the Matrix came out, and my mind was blown with all the rest of us people who'd never seen anything like it before. So I loved the Matrix, and also I'd worked with the Wachowskis before and I loved that whole team. And I love the way they make movies. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you think that you make movies until you start making one of their movies. And then you're like, oh, wow. So this is making movies. There's just always the level of effects and units going on at the same time and people. And it's like filmmaking is math. The things that, you know, are going on in people's heads are incredible. So it's really fun to be a part of, for sure. So I was really excited when Lana invited me to come and be a part of it. So it was really cool. And Keanu Reeves. So, you know,
I mean, come on.
He's like the greatest movie star that's ever lived.
And also, by all accounts, like maybe one of the greatest human beings who's he's ever awesome. Lived.
I mean, it was like a thrill to be around him and to see how wonderful he was.
And the internet is so in love with Keanu Reeves. Like I see like quotes of his pop up all the time. You know, Instagram has figured out that I'm a fan of his. So I'll get these, you know, I'll get a really pensive shot of Keanu Reeves or some quote that he said. That's like, wow, this guy's ascending to like some kind of weird deity.
He's like a Jesus.
Well, that's kind of what Neo is, isn't he?
Yes,
he's kind of like digital Jesus. Neo is digital Jesus.
He's Jesus for our times.
And I love his, you know, his career path is so fascinating to me because you could see the traces of what ultimately ended up fully manifesting in the Matrix, where he was taking these jobs where they were these really interesting kind of offbeat techno super kind of supernatural sort of weird, and the seeing of the trailer of the Matrix in a theater was one of the most profound movie theater experiences I've ever had, because I think people don't remember when that movie came out, he was like the Bill and Ted guy, you know, he was sort of like the whoa. And in the trailer for the
Matrix, romantic comedies, wasn't that the Sandra Bullock romantic comedy time?
I think it may have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it may have been
The Letter or that Beat Lake House or what, that one of the, like,
It was around that time.
Very unexpected.
Yeah. And then when that trailer started, he says a whoa in the trailer in the beginning and the theater laughed because they're like, what is this going to be? And the tonal change in the theater from that point to the end of the trailer, it was like dead silent, where you could, everyone was like, what in the fuck did I just watch? And it literally changed cinema.
Yes. Yes. Watching that movie, I remember just that my mind was absolutely blown. I had no idea. I didn't expect it. I did not see that trailer in the theaters. So I just saw it and with not knowing anything about it, and was just like forever changed. Yeah.
I mean, do you think as performers, is that sort of the whale that everyone chases?
Yes. Yes, it really is. And that's like, for me, I always look at things and I'm like, have we seen this before? Like, who wants to make the same shit? You know, and even with characters, and I just am always like, I want to do something that people haven't seen. And that, I think, that's the white whale. Yeah.
And it's also hard, though, because, you know, and like you said, unless you're an executive producer, when you're acting, you really only thing you can really control is your performance. That's really,
but you can't, because if they don't like your performance, they'll play it on a wide shot behind your head.
Or they'll edit around it, or they'll change the performance in editing. So you're right. So actually, no, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. So you actually have very little.
You have to. Yes. Because you'll be on set and you're like, no, I don't think that she would do that, or she should do that. And someone's like, okay, fine. And you know, when they say, okay, fine, they're like, we'll play it in the wide behind her head.
Oh, fuck. for me, the version of that was always, okay, well, just, you know what, just do this one for us. And I'm like, I know, but I know that just means you're going to use, fine. All right. It's fine.
They figured out a way around that one too. Cause you're like, if I don't give it to you, you won't have it. And they're like, yeah, we can play it on a wide shot behind your head and make you dub it.
or there's like
that performance right in there later.
Or, you know, if you get out of the studio. Or if you like half phone it in, then, you know, if we use that, that's just going to reflect poorly on you. So, you know.
That's the other thing. So you really want to be an EP on things like TV.
Do you, when you're an EP, do you sort of, how are you able to separate that from the profile? Like, how do you not just think about everything all the time? I marvel at people who are able to be able to do multiple things when they have to also perform, because I just feel like, how do you shove all that other, how are you not thinking about some production annoying thing when you have to be present in a moment in a scene?
Well, I think it's the same as like dealing with your life. You know, you shut out your life for that. It's only like, it's usually 30 seconds. I mean, honestly. So usually I can focus for that amount of time and then do the other things that go with producing.
That's so funny. I always think about how, you know, you work so hard your whole life to do this thing. And when you really think about it, you're like, how much did I actually do the thing that I wanted? It was like, what was it? 18 minutes in total? Yeah. Like, really? Total?
It's true. That gives me a lot of anxiety, how like little time you get to do the thing. Because I'm always worried I'm going to, you know, blow it. You only have a certain amount of time. Don't blow it.
Yeah, do you feel like that a little bit of anxiety is motivating, or
motivating. No. I'm much better when I'm like cocky as hell, arrogant, just like totally relaxed, don't give a shit. Then I'm great. It's when I care too much, I will destroy things.
Not giving a shit is really hard, because if you even have the thought, well, I don't want to give a shit about this. And it's like, well, clearly you give a shit about, how do you?
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, there are levels. I don't mean completely not giving a shit. I just mean like not feeling like everything lives or dies and lives or dies in your performance at that moment.
Absolutely. You just mean like not being bound up by your anxiety so that you can actually function. But that can be really difficult to detach sometimes, because the anxiety is such a physiological reaction that by the time you realize it's happening, you're having to talk yourself out of it. You're having to talk your body out of a physical reaction that you're having.
Everything. And yeah, I've had so many times when I'm just like, oh, I wish we could go back and reshoot the first week of filming or the first episode we did. And because now I feel much more relaxed and I'm not in my own way. But yeah, that happens all the time.
That's an interesting point that you bring up. I wonder if there are any directors who factor in at the end of the shoot, reshooting like the first things that you shot.
I would do that. I think that that's a smart idea.
Because you probably don't entirely, it probably takes a second to kind of figure out the chemistry and the dynamic.
Especially with television too, because you don't know what your character is going to do later on in other episodes, and they don't tell you. It's like just something you don't know. So you kind of, it's hard to really figure out who the character is completely until you've done like 3 or 4 episodes.
And then right.
You know, you kind of have this idea of what they're capable of and who they are and all the rules. And in the beginning though, to try to figure out those rules with so little information is very difficult. So yeah, like I kind of wanted to go back and reshoot all my stuff in episode 2 of Yellow Jackets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
As a viewer, it did not, it's such a flaw.
It goes so fast too. It goes so fast that I found myself after the entire season being like, I get it. I have like an overarching rule book for her, but it was afterwards.
That's probably why season 2s are great, right? Because
yes, I would think so, yes. I've never gotten to a season 2 in a television show, so let's hope.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But how many shows, but have you done a lot of television?
I've only done 2 TV shows.
Okay, all right, okay. That makes a lot more sense. We've only done 2. Television is hard, and even though I feel like there is just a glut of content and platforms right now, I still feel like I know a lot of people who are not working. It's like, but shouldn't everyone be working? It feels like there's a million shows.
Everyone should be working. It's true. There should be a job for everyone when it comes to creating content.
But everyone's basically in entertainment now because of social media. Like literally every person on the, almost every person on the planet who's on, is in entertainment. It's not like just for performers anymore.
No, it's not. My son wants a YouTube channel. And I've told him until he can come up with a concept, episode ideas, he's not allowed.
Are you going to be the studio for yourself?
Yes. Well, we have this thing in my house that you should be famous for what you do, what you contribute, not who you are.
Oh, that's great.
That will destroy your soul. And yep. So I think that, you know, if you want to, yeah, you have to prove to me that you've actually got something to say.
Oh my God, that is a brilliant sort of like mantra to have, you know, be famous for what you do, not who you are, because that's ultimately the latter of that is like, oh, well, that's kind of all social media. It's like, as someone who was an early adopter of every technological thing, I find myself now thinking differently about it with the child on the way. It's like, oh, what? I mean, we're still several years away from having to really worry about it. And maybe it'll change in 10 years, but still I'm going, what are we going to do if our child wants to, it just gets absorbed by this thing. How do we?
And I don't think that what you contribute has to be like, you know, it doesn't have to be something insane, but what is the concept and the thing, the idea has to be separate from just like my personality. That's right. It. You know, are you like, he got really into volcanoes. I was like, if you just want to do nothing but episodes of exploding different volcanoes that you put together, that's fine.
That's,
you know,
pretty cool.
Like just something that isn't completely about how he looks or, you know, his personality.
Yeah, I feel like I want to do a lot of work as a parent to let our child, to let her know, like, you have so much value that has nothing to do with any of that shit, you know, so that, but it's just, all that stuff is designed to be addictive. It's designed toxically. So it sort of, it plays upon all these really kind of basic human emotions and needs and insecurities that I think even the healthiest person probably kind of struggles with it to a degree because it is literally designed that way.
Yeah, no, it's really crazy. It's all for me. I'm not that smart, but it just seems like to me, it's all about social currency and measuring your social currency. And it's a slippery slope.
Well, it is, especially when, you know, like I remember being in high school and there was enough pressure just feeling like, well, how do I fit into the couple of hundred people in this, but now it's like billions of, you know, and the sort of comparative thinking, but the comparative thinking is tied to distorted lenses. And so it's not, yeah. So I don't know. Lydia is not like a super fan of technology at all. And so I actually feel really good about that because, you know, but I don't know, what do you do if your child is freaking out and you can put an iPad in front of them and then that calms them? I literally don't. I just hope we'll figure it out as we get there.
Yeah, I found with my son that I really try. I mean, he's obsessed with YouTube. And I use it as a way to get him to do things. Like, if you do 20 minutes of math exercises on IXL, you can watch 20 minutes of YouTube. But always there's like a conversation about, you know, these people are performing, or this is essentially television. Just anything to separate it from it being so precious or so, I don't know. Yeah, I guess precious.
What is it? What does he watch? Does he watch other kids play games? Does he watch?
He watches other kids play with toys and go on like vacations and stuff. And then he's like really into gaming. So he will watch tutorial, like gaming videos where they teach them how to find stuff and do things. I don't know.
Do you play anything? Are you a game?
No, I tried. We had to go to Canada for 6 months and we'd be in quarantine for 2 weeks and the whole thing. So I got a Switch and tried to play Fortnite with him and he was very nice to me about it. But I just don't have that in me. I just don't care about games. I don't care if I lose. I don't care.
But see, that's the healthiest attitude in the world.
And it was translates into me being like, meh.
Yeah. Lydia and I both play. We played a bunch of Animal Crossing together for like a year during quarantine, and it was actually really.
It's fun. I wish that I had the desire to. I watch other people play games, which is strange, but I don't really like to take part.
Say goodbye to performance robbing engine deposits with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Hate to break it to you, but lower grade fuel can leave deposits in your engine that build up over time and leave your engine's performance severely lacking. Thankfully, Shell V-Power Nitro Plus removes up to 100% of performance-robbing deposits with continuous use in gasoline direct injection engine fuel injectors. Download the Shell app today to find your nearest Shell station and rejuvenate your engine with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Fuel up at Shell.
It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Time for a My Mochi ice cream snack. My Mochi ice cream is cool, creamy scoops of premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. And get this, all of My Mochi's fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream are only around 80 calories per piece. Talk about a guilt-free, indulgent experience. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned, gluten-free mochis that are great for grab-and-go. So feel good while curbing your afternoon cravings or the midnight munchies. Yeah, you know who you are with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. Find My Mochi ice cream at Target or visit MyMochi.com to locate a grocery store near you.
I am endlessly fascinated by the idea of like watching people play games. And the only thing that I can figure is that A, there's a storytelling arc to it, that B, you don't have to, there's no risk. Like, because there is a mild amount of anxiety when you're young and you're playing a game that like, oh, I'm not going to do it right, or I'm not going to be able to accomplish it. And so you get to experience the game without having to experience the kind of emotional disturbance that comes along with like, I can't get past this one fucking level. God damn it.
I'm much more of a you're doing it wrong person than actually doing it myself. For sure. I like to be able to like leave the room and come back and see where we've progressed to.
Yeah. That's a really good idea though. I hope that, and we'll do our best to try to figure out like, what is she into and what kind of stuff does she like? And we'll try to feed that. But this idea of, you know, if you really want to be famous for what you do, because at least that's, at least you would learn something, or at least you would be teaching something, or at least there's a craft or a skill.
Yeah, and all this focus, I think, on like the vessel is bad. You know, it's supposed to be about what's going on in our brains.
Well, not only that, but it also just relies on almost entirely external factors. Mm-hmm. Of how many people are following you, if people decide to not follow you or unfollow you, and then you start attaching your worth or your value to this external thing, which is uncontrollable and volatile.
Yeah.
Then how, you know, it just, I think it could just be dead. I think it's just deadly for people who haven't learned to kind of form that internal sense of self.
Well, and that's the problem too, is when people become too famous or dependent on outside input before they know who they are. Like that just sounds devastating to me. So,
yeah, but also I think, you know, because you were able to, I feel like you've been in the business long enough that you, I would imagine that early on you kind of figured out like, yeah, well, that's really stupid. I'm just going to focus on the work and all that's kind of dumb.
No, but I mean, I'm a human being, so it's still really horrible. still take criticism really poorly and public opinion. And, you know, it's like I'm just as vulnerable. So I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be 7. Do you know what I mean?
Did he have a response to, hey, if you want to do a channel about volcanoes, is he considering it?
No, I don't want to do that. I want to play games. And I was like, so you want to be one of these people that just plays games and is recorded playing games. I mean, at least that's like a skill. I guess it's a skill, right? I mean, he's good. I don't know though. It seems weird to have people just watch you play games. I'm not sure.
No, but I do think that's better than just like, hey,
it's
I'm
recording. Being like, hey, I'm going to show you this thing I got today.
That's exactly right. Well, that's exactly right. It's the difference between him, like that is a skill versus just becoming a social media reality show, which I think is
the
other.
He can be charming while he's doing the games, and he's got to wear a mask. I told him he has to wear a mask of some kind.
Oh yeah, because you don't want people to know what your child looks like. That's
yeah. There's that, and sometimes I waffle. Like, is it so bad? But I don't know. I really feel like I want him to be a fully formed adult before he decides that he wants to be recognizable on the street. You know.
Right. Because kids don't necessarily know what all that entails. They just can't understand that yet.
Yep.
And they can't understand that is a potentially dangerous thing.
What if he wants to be a spy or like a secret service agent or something?
If he wants to be a spy, you may never know. He might already be doing it. He might be a spy right now. He might be a spy. The gaming channel might be a way to
communicate with others. Yeah, secretly through code.
Secretly communicate spy information. Yeah. Is that what it's called? Spy information? I'm here to bring my spy information. I don't know. That you might not be a great spy. Were there things before and after that you? Because I feel like we go into parenthood with these very like, okay, I'm going to try this and I'm going to do this, and obviously a lot of it goes out the window because you have to be flexible. You have to understand. But did a sort of a light switch come on like after the birth where you were like, oh, I feel like I understand things now on a molecular level now that this has happened that I didn't understand before?
Well, I feel like I had more ideas about how much you could actually shape a person, a child's personality and stuff. And Freddie came out and Freddie was very much who he was. He's always been the same kid, likes what he likes. And it's interesting to know that they really come out and they are who they are in many ways. So I didn't have a lot of preconceptions. I'm not very good at, I don't know. I'm not so great at, I usually don't have a lot of preconceptions when I go into situations. I don't know why.
That's good. Actually, you were probably conditioned because of acting, because you don't know what a set's going to be like when you get on, and you don't know what the dynamic is going to be, and you just have to be flexible to it.
Flexible, yeah. I'm very flexible as a person. So I kind of was like, I don't know what this is going to be like raising a child, but we'll see what happens. And I have like a few things in my life that I feel like manage, like always having to be okay with what I've done that day and so I can sleep at night and things right. like that. I'm like really ruled by anxiety and guilt. So it's helpful.
Anxiety is a hard one. And I think it's especially now there's just so much of everything. I really do think the overload just comes from that our brains were not particularly evolved to handle as much information that is running in the background at all times that we're trying to absorb at all times. So I feel like that's why so many people, well, that of course in a global pandemic and a million other things that are going sideways, but just that sort of feeling of like, there's just too much. I don't know. That feeling is it's hard. Do you wake up in the middle of the night and kind of like have to like just sort of shove it down?
I wake up usually around 4 or 5 a.m. and go through all the things that I might be forgetting to do. People get a lot of emails from me at 5. That's when I do most of my best work.
Well, it is quiet at that hour.
I catch up on everything. It's like the anxiety of like, oh, you've forgotten to do this and don't forget to do that. And you better ask about this. And I'm very, people are always like, you're so organized. It's like, no, I'm riddled with anxiety. So, yeah.
And do you feel like have you come up with ways to sort of mitigate that? And
I'm happy with this system. You know, if it wakes me up at 4 in the morning, it's important and I should take care of it then and there. You know, there've been a lot of times when like my anxiety makes me ask extra questions and then I'm so glad I did. So I kind of view it as more of a tool, and the guilt is the same thing. The guilt keeps me honest. So
that's a really kind of healthy way to look at anxiety. I sort of think of it as like just a bad byproduct of, you know, overthinking or trying to manage catastrophe. It's like, oh, I got to think of every possibility, and that's not entirely healthy. But thinking about it as a tool, a helpful tool when you can use it.
I really view it as a tool. It's like it keeps me from forgetting things. it makes me responsible. My fear of people not liking me keeps me from being a jerk. I try to utilize it as much as possible.
Well, any way that we can, because I do feel like there's some, this idea that like, oh, we could just get rid of anxiety altogether and never have it. Like, well, I don't know
it if that's to be there for a reason. That's the thing that I think also. My mother was always like, guilt is such a useless emotion. I was like, I don't think it's useless. Like, if you need to feel bad about things that you've done wrong.
But in moderation, though, right?
Because in moderation. If you can channel it and use it properly and not let it destroy your life, then yes. But otherwise, you should go to a therapist.
Therapy's good. You know, I often, for people who are like, well, I don't know. I don't really have anything to talk about. I go, yeah, but it's really good just to have an hour, even an hour a week or two, just to be able to talk with someone. And, you know, and it's not like, because you don't want your significant other to be the person that you're constantly like, oh, and then this stressed me out, and then this stressed me out, or your mom, or your whoever. And it's not that you shouldn't talk to people sometimes, but it is nice to have someone who can sort of like help sort through things and just kind of vent.
Yeah. No, I think it's really good. Definitely.
Well, I am delighted that you were willing to do a podcast 6 days before you're having a child. This actually, by the time this goes up, your child will be out. So the new baby could listen to the podcast. Does your son listen to podcasts? Do kids listen to podcasts? Do they care about that?
He doesn't. He doesn't know about them, I don't think, yet. He's never mentioned them.
It's remarkable to me what has happened in the world of podcasting. And I think it's great. From the last time you were on the podcast, which was like 5 years ago or something.
But was it a podcast then, or was it a radio show? Because that was 8 years ago.
It was like 8 years ago. Was it eight? Yes. Jesus Christ.
I was pregnant with my first child then.
Oh my God. Oh, that's right. And we talked about this whole thing where there was like reaching, where people like get under a table or something.
Yes, when I could still fit under tables.
Yeah. It was a meme, like some kind of a meme. And that was 8 years ago. Oh my God.
Yeah. So yeah. So when I was thinking about that, I was like, was that a podcast then? Or was that, wow. So you were like one of the earliest.
I don't know if it was the early, I mean, I've been doing it for almost 12 years, but I don't know, but there are people who are doing it years before that. It's just
now
around
12. Really, everybody's doing it now. That's kind of make you mad.
You know, it actually doesn't, because I feel like for me, on the one side, it's like, oh my God, there's a million. Of course, there's so many podcasts to listen to, but also like, it's hard for me. I would never get mad at like people discovering themselves or like giving people something that they want or expanding the platform or the format. I mean, it's sort of like you would never do stand-up if you thought about how many comedians are. It's like, yeah, but the more comics there are, the more people are going out to see comedy, the more it elevates the craft and the art of it. So I don't know. I'm a root for everyone kind of guy. So I sort of feel like, yeah, great. Everyone's doing podcasts, you know, like I don't fucking, it's fine. People come and go. Has anyone ever approached you about doing one?
I do have a podcast idea. It's called Toxic. Well, I mean, I probably shouldn't even tell people. Someone's going to use it.
Okay, don't tell. But you have a podcast.
No, I don't care. It's never going to happen. I was going to call it Toxic Positivity, and basically, I just like talk about things I don't understand that are really everybody's really into, like TikTok, and I make people come on the show to change my mind, basically, about the values and benefits of their popular thing they love.
I think this is a brilliant idea, and I hope that, because here's the thing.
I feel like at a certain point, all this toxic positivity has to end, and people will go back to being like, is that cool, or is that just really stupid and attention-seeking?
So at the end, do you give it a rating at the end? Like, well, I just talked.
I could be like, you know what? I get it. Because people have changed my mind about things. I'm like the party pooper. I'm always sort of like, should we talk about our experiences, or should we be like feral cats that have the dignity to go off alone to die? So, but people have changed my mind, and I've seen their benefit of hearing someone's experience can help you and save all that stuff.
I'm so glad you brought up TikTok, because if I was not a performer, I probably wouldn't consider it, but so many of my friends who are comedians are on it. And I feel like, I don't know. It feels like I don't feel like I want to do it, but should I? Like, I feel this.
In the beginning, I thought TikTok was only people behaving like 11-year-old girls making up dances and filming them. That's what I thought was really all that was happening. And then I realized that, yes, there's like animal videos and people do all kinds of things on TikTok. So now it just seems like it's just people posting videos. So it's, you know, it's lost. I've lost my sort of vitriol for it.
Yeah, every time I think about posting on TikTok, it's just hard not to go, I just turned 50. Like, is that weird?
Because it's called TikTok. It really is. It's because it has this like adorable cutesy name. And because the most famous people from TikTok are famous for doing strange dances in their bedrooms.
Like, what should we call it? Should we call it Dance Around Club? Like, what are we supposed to, should we call it like a...
Videos. It's just like a video sharing platform.
Give it a more adult name. Take all the fun out of
it. Yeah, well, it really needs to be stripped of all its funsiness.
Well, I read a whole article. I was this really fascinating article about a woman who's 27 and she's an Excel master. Like, she's a master of Microsoft Excel spreadsheets. Okay. So she started making TikTok dance videos where she would show like incredibly helpful Excel tips.
And that makes sense. I wish there didn't. I don't know why there has to be dancing. And I don't know why they have to be like. Show me the information.
I wish people could see what you just did.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Pointing.
So like the music, and then they point to a thing and it pops up on the screen. And it's really like, just tell me. Why can't you tell me? Why do I have to watch you dance?
She's basically made like $1 million because she was using it as advertisements for you subscribe to her website, and she has all these incredible Excel tutorials, and now she's making like hundreds of thousands of dollars a month.
And that makes a lot of sense. And again, she is somebody who's selling a thing. It's a thing. It's a talent. It's a skill. That's fine. I get that. I just don't understand the ones that just dance, or it's like a father daughter doing dumb dances. It's like, why?
But also, and this is probably not, it probably doesn't make any sense to even, you know, to put myself in the same room, but you think about it, it's like, well, Keanu Reeves isn't on social media and he's fine. It's like, yeah, I know, but that's Keanu Reeves. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, we both know a lot of people who are not on social media and they're fine.
Yeah, I know. But then you watch all the people fall and gradually join social media and you're like, maybe there's something to this.
Your Instagram's really fun though, because it's really like it's I don't know, it just has a nice vibe to it.
Oh, that's good. Like, I'm terrible at like that whole idea that we were all supposed to like brand ourselves and figure out what our thing is, and I'm not good at that. I'm just way too random of a person, and so it's good to know that. It just feels very piecemeal to me, but whatever.
So before I let you go, last bit of advice before we have a baby, is there anything you can think of? Anything someone told you that ended up being very helpful? Some piece of wisdom to pass along?
I don't know. I mean, I'm the youngest of four children. I was essentially raised by dogs. So I feel like the best thing to think about is that everybody's going to be okay. Okay, they're fine.
People have been doing this for
long time.
Don't put too much into it. Don't put too much stress into it.
Stress.
Put a lot into it. Don't put too much into it. You can leave a baby; they're fine. You leave a bowl of water over there; they'll figure it out. Right? Come on.
Leave a baby with the dog; it'll be fine.
But your dogs. It sounds like they're not going to be super helpful when it comes to caring.
They're not going to be helpful. Yeah. Yeah. Not so, for our dogs.
So you can't rely on them, but the cat is going to be
the cat will let us know. So the cat will let us know that the baby's okay.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for being here. And I really hope that one of these days we're able to all
together
and say hi, IRL.
Get the babies together.
Get the babies together. We have so many friends who are having babies right now. And we're so excited because we feel like, oh, there's this whole generation there's a whole generation of like pandemic babies that are all coming out that hopefully are friends.
Yeah, that'll be great. It'll be good for being social. It's hard when you're the only one with a baby.
I know. It's because I would have friends who would have kids, and then I didn't see them a lot after they had a kid. And now I understand. It's like, well, they don't have time. And also, they're probably hanging out with people who also have kids because they...
The very specific style of socializing you have to engage in afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. So good luck with everything. Best of luck in the next six days.
Lydia, please.
Oh, I absolutely will. She just sent me a text and said she was so sorry she wasn't able to come down. She's been trying to set up stuff upstairs, but hopefully we'll... I think she has your information, so hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, have a great holiday.
Yes, happy holidays to you too. Thanks so much.
All right, bye.
Bye.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels...
There are murders in all of the books.
...that she was playing them out in real life? You can listen to Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.